The first order of business this morning is actually to read out the results of this retreat. The following people have got jhana. The following people are hopeless. Now the result of this retreat is everybody is happy. Yeah? Okay, so you all passed. There we go. Now there are some of you who are going to be leaving earlier at 9:30, so I suggested that we, or 9:40 or 9:45. So I'll give the blessing for everybody first while they're still here, and then I will do a little talk, answer some questions, then we'll have toilet break, and then we'll finish off with the metta meditation roughly about 10:30. 11 o'clock I go off for my lunch. So, but first of all, this is chanting blessing for all of you who have been on this retreat, and I'll follow it with the sharing of merits. So here we go. And those people who are late, who couldn't make it on time, oh, you're going to miss the blessing. But never mind, the blessing is so powerful, it can be streamed right to your rooms. For those who are late. So here we go. This is the blessing.
Abha Bhuta Nubhavena Sabadama Nubhavena Sabasanga Nubhavena Buddha Ratanam Dhamma Ratanam Sangha Ratanam Inang ratananga nubhavena chaturasiti sahasa dhamma kanda nubhavena pitakataya nubhavena jinasavaka nubhavena sabete roga Sabe te vaya, sabe te antaraya, sabe te upadava, sabe te dunimita, sabe te avamangala, vinasantu vayuvadako, Dana Vadako, Siri Vadako, Yasa Vadako, Bala Vadako, Vana Vadako, Sukha Vadako, Otu Sabada, Dukha Loga Vaya Vela, Sokha Satu Chupadava, Aneka antaraya piwina santu Chateja sajaya siddhi dhanan lava Soti bhagayam sukhang balan Siri ayuja vano chabogan vudhi Jaya sava sata vasa ca ayu ca jiva siddhi ca vantu te.
Let's wish you all the very best for your happiness, success, good health, peace, everything, even your achievement of the realization of nirvana. Very good. And now again, because some of you believe in soon, it's the Buddhist tradition also to remember, especially parents, ancestors, brothers and sisters who have passed away, and we want to share our good karma with them. And remember that doing this meditation is huge good karma. And it's a wonderful thing that instead of just doing it for yourself, you can remember this is also for others as well. So when we do this chant, you close your eyes and you remember maybe a grandpa, grandmother, uncles and aunties, parents, it could be wives, husbands, people who passed away, and you regard them with gratitude, with love. And the wonderful thing about love is we always want to give things to people we love. We haven't got any worldly gifts to people who are departed, but at least we can give our merit. Our store of good karma we share it with our mother, with our father, with our deceased relations, wherever they are. And they realize they're never forgotten. And we share our good karma with them. So this child and that he made together with them. Nati me sawananya. Please chant with me. No, sorry, that's the wrong one. That's the verse, sorry. Ina me yatina o tu sukita o tu yatayo. Ina me yatina o tu sukita. O tu yatayo, ita me yatina, o tu sukita, o tu yatayo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. So before I just go on to a couple of questions, there's always more questions. It doesn't matter how many times you answer them, there's always some more. And for those people who complain that in these retreats you hear the same stories over and over again, and that is because you give me the same questions over and over again. So it's fair, fair. You write the same questions, I give the same stories. But, of course, now many of you have been on many retreats, some of you it's their first retreat. I teach I don't know how many retreats every year throughout the world. The next retreat will be over in Frankfurt in about 3 weeks' time. So I'm always teaching meditation retreats and always giving a similar advice. Remember, this is not the end of a retreat, it never does end. You know, you keep on meditating, maybe a little bit less when you go back home. You still keep some importance for your spiritual life. You all realize when you come in a place like this, the meaning of life is not just amassing funds, amassing property. No, it's much more than even the relationships you have with other people. The spiritual life is the relationship you have with yourself, with your body and mind. And you know you're going in the right direction, as I said earlier, because it's creating more peace and happiness. There's a very important simile which I developed. Remember, to try and get these messages across, it's more helpful to have similes, to put it into some sort of experience where people can really understand it more deeply. I know the Buddha used similes, Ajahn Chah used similes, and so now I have to make up some similes myself, and many of them are from experiences in your life. And this particular experience, this gives you an indication on how you're progressing and where you should be going. Was when I was vacationing as a student, remember I was really poor, so I could not go to hotels when I was a student. I'd just get my tent and just start walking in the, usually up in the mountains in Scotland. It was very peaceful, very beautiful, and I loved my solitude. I loved just meditating up there. And one day I was in a youth hostel in the northwest of Scotland. It was quite far north, and just staying there for a couple of days, and the youth hostel warden invited me to come and have a walk up to one of the mountains. It's not really a mountain, it's more like a tall hill. But that's all they had. So, yeah, wonderful exercise. So we walked up to the top of the mountain, took a couple of hours, maybe three. A beautiful view at the top of the mountain, a wonderful summer's day in Scotland. And I was just enjoying myself, and he said, I'm going to go back now. And I saw there's another peak just not so far away. So I want to walk up the other peak. Do you want to come? He said, no, if you go, I'll see you this evening. So I went to the second peak by myself. And it was a beautiful day. But as I reached the top of the second peak, it was so amazing just how quickly the cloud came down. And I was totally enveloped in mist. And I always thought I had a good sense of direction. So I roughly knew where I came from, so I turned around and walked back so I could get under the mist so I could see where I was. Because when you're in a very misty cloud, you can hardly see, I wouldn't be able to see the girls in front of me. It was so thick mist. But I knew my direction, so I started walking back, and then I stopped very suddenly. As I could see, just now, maybe 2 or 3 feet in front of me, there was an edge of a cliff. And I really came that close. If I hadn't been mindful, I wouldn't be here today. But that was a big cliff. It's probably the biggest cliff in the area. It went way down. Later on, I looked at the map to find out where that cliff was. On the map, you can find out where these things are. And I was really surprised. I had gone in 180 degrees, the opposite direction I thought I was going in. And that really tells you that when you get lost in the mist, you are disorientated. And no matter what you think is the direction, it's usually not that direction at all. Which is why many people can get lost and wander around for days. You don't have a sense of direction in the mist. And I went totally the opposite direction. So when I saw that cliff, I realized I was in a very dangerous situation, because I've been told sometimes these mists come down and they stay there for days. And I was totally lost. And it was in a wilderness area. Fortunately, I had some brains, I was smart, and I decided to find a way to get out of that mist. And this was my strategy. There was always, because it was very wet and rainy up there, there was always some little streams or brooks up in the mountain. So I wandered around until I found a little stream. And I knew from theoretical physics that water always goes downhill. Of course, everybody knows that. So if it goes downhill, all I needed to do was follow the water course. It didn't matter whether it went, you know, left or right or whichever direction. I knew it always go down. And that was the main thing I had to do, to get down until I was below the mist and then I could see. So I followed it and followed it and followed it. And soon I went underneath the mist and I could see where I was. And I could get my directions so I could get back to youth hostel quite safe. And I've used that as a simile for meditation, for Dharma, for life. Because sometimes, especially in meditation, you're not really quite sure which way you're going. You may think you're following the instructions and you're supposed to be meditating, but sometimes you may go in totally the opposite direction. And that's where we get headaches from, we get confused from. But you always know the water flows downhill. If it is the Dharma you're following, if it is the right method, if it is the right way of meditating, you know it will always flow towards greater peace, to greater clarity and mindfulness, and to greater happiness. So that becomes the way that you meditate, follow a spiritual life, follow the Dharma, so you're always getting more peaceful, more clear, and more happy. Because the Dharma only goes downhill. It goes downhill to Nibbana, to peace, ultimate happiness, to the sense of freedom. So you may not go all the way, but at least if you know you're following the path which goes downhill, you'll know you're getting closer and closer and closer. And it does happen when you get underneath the mist. Then you can actually see where you're going. That is my simile for screen reading. Now you can actually see where you are, where to go to the hostel, to Nirvana, for safety, and a good cup of tea. I'm an Englishman. So, in that simile, when you leave here, when you meditate by yourself, when you're at home, on the aircraft, wherever you are, and you want to meditate, you want to know how to meditate, it is like a mist at first. Until you become a screen reader, then you can see very clearly exactly what to do and how to do it. But up until that time, you are in the mist. And the only way which is going to be safe for you is to go in that direction, whatever that direction is, which creates more peace, more freedom, more sense of inner happiness. If that's what you're doing, water's going downhill, it will have to go so far down you can actually underneath the mist. Underneath the mist of delusions, you can see which way you go. That is the simile. That is a wonderful path. So during this retreat, you know, you have had some peaceful moments. You have had some happy moments. And you're understanding what we mean by peace, what we mean by happiness, what we mean by freedom. It's an experience. Because you know philosophers can write whole books about freedom. And they can have whole books, you know, whole series of books, you know, about what they think peace means and how to get peace. But all of that is so much worse. On this retreat, my aim for you guys was for you to be able to experience some of that peace, experience some of that inner happiness, experience this beautiful sense of freedom. And when you experience it, then you know what to look for. You found a street. Now keep following that downhill. You know also as the streams flow downhill, they get bigger and stronger. Just like the peace and the happiness and the sense of freedom, it gets more stable, more solid, more huge. And in your life, you understand eventually what real peace, what real freedom, what real happiness is. It's one of the reasons why I tell jokes, why people say, oh, your meditation retreat is too soft, you don't have enough discipline. People like me, they tell me, look, I really need some discipline. I need to be hauled out of bed in the morning, otherwise I won't get up. I want to have a guard on the door so I won't turn on the TV. I need someone to check out my fridge so I don't take anything in the evening. No, that is not the way, because you never get any happiness that way. I've made this a very happy retreat, I hope. Even though this is supposed to be the serious part of the retreat. As I've told many people, I just can't do serious. If you want serious, then go to Guantanamo Bay. I'm really serious. So. You know, Changi Jarrett here in Singapore. So this retreat is a lot of happiness, there's a lot of sense of ease and freedom, and there's a good reason for that. Because this is the only way you feel that happiness. You begin to start to feel the happiness. If I control you and all these schedules, then you will start controlling yourself. And you will just become another prisoner. So I've given you a lot of slack. So you can get on whenever you want. You can actually go to bed whenever you want. Now, even if you know, feel tense, you can go on a walk by the beach, and some of you have even swam. You ask me, you said, I'm sorry, I swam. I said, never mind, very good. Because I want you to feel that freedom. It's called the freedom from desire. It's a beautiful sense where you're open and not being pulled and pushed by all the demands on you. You know what it's like when you're young, having to go to school? That's where all these goals and desires came from. You were pushed, you had to succeed. You had to do well. It was really a lot of stress for you. And the same when you go to work, you're pushed by your boss. You have to get the sales on the board. As a human being, as a girl, you have to be pretty. As a boy, you have to be tough or whatever else you want from the boys. There's so much you have to live up to. And sometimes people come to meditation retreats, you know, with that same attitude. Just another thing to succeed at. And how many times have you failed in life? Yeah, you succeeded a lot, otherwise you wouldn't be able to afford to come to a place like this. Except if you're a muck. I don't pay. It's really a good deal. I just have to work for it. I saw one of the people this morning and they were cleaning up my plates from my table. And I thought, my goodness, has a hotel made you do this because you can't pay your bill? So if the bill is a bit too much, you can volunteer to wash dishes in the kitchen. But no, because you get this beautiful sense of freedom by coming here. And a lot of times, that sense of freedom, we call it, the Buddha called it, the taste of freedom. Vibhuti Rasa. It's a very beautiful word. It became one of the titles of Ajahn Chah's books, where the Western monks started translating this, looking for a title, and we chose the taste of freedom. So that's a very important word. You taste it first of all. Now it's like, you know, you go, I don't know if any of you have done this, you go to the buffet and you just maybe put your finger where no one's looking. Taste it first of all, is that nice? So you get a taste first of all before you realize this is the sort of stuff you want to go for. And on these retreats, that's part of the job, is to give you a taste of freedom, a taste of peace, a taste of happiness. If you can just get a taste for it, then eventually you will follow that. You will follow that and then you get the whole meal. When the whole meal is in front of you, you start eating it. And that will give you health and delight, literally beyond your wildest dreams. So that is what we're here for. They can get the taste of freedom. It's not to get jhanas, it's not to get enlightenment, because those things will come by themselves eventually. That is not the goal of me teaching these retreats. The goal of me teaching these retreats is just to get a taste, a glimmer, an idea of what this meditation really leads to. Because once you get the taste, it's very addictive. I know that people get addicted to many things in this world, whether it's alcohol or cigarettes or drugs. And that's really bad for your health, and it leads in a very difficult direction. But the taste of freedom, you get addicted to peace, and to the happiness of that peace. This wonderful feeling inside yourself, this is freedom, this is what life is all about. This is the spiritual heart of my life. Yes, I have to work hard to go get well in life, to do well in life. But that's not the real meaning of life. The real meaning of life is not what's outside, but what's inside of you. And this is where you try and taste that freedom. It's such a wonderful thing when you can appreciate the freedom, the peace of mind, the happiness of the heart. How many people seek the peace of mind in this world? They don't know where to seek it. You actually seek it in this meditation, in the retreat you do now. That's where you get peace of mind. Going back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, you know, in life we're always pushed and pulled to achieve this and to achieve that. One of the reasons why, you know, I will never give out report cards, the reason why I never say, oh, you're the best meditator in this whole retreat. I only say very good, no matter what you've done, and more likely what you've done which is wrong and naughty. I'll always say very good, because I want to not judge you so you don't judge yourself. If you can actually do that, no judging, it's amazing how peaceful and free you feel. That's also why that some time ago I developed that story, good, bad, who knows. Because in life, whatever happens to you in life, you say, oh, this is very bad, what do you mean it was very bad? You know, maybe you learned a lot from that. Who says it's very good? You know, it may be very good, but maybe you're lazy. So it doesn't matter what's happening in life, good, bad, who knows, is a very wonderful teacher. So was your meditation good or bad? Who knows? It's just meditation, that's all. Can you see what happens when you don't judge? When you don't judge, you feel so free. When you judge, there's always more things you have to live up to. One of the problems with my teachings, one of the things I warn you against, I talk all about these stages of meditation. Now, present moment awareness, silence, being able to watch the breath, the full awareness of the breath, and the delightful breath, and the nimittas, the first jhana, the second jhana, the third jhana. Doesn't that sound a lot like school? You know, you got O-levels and A-levels and then BA and then MA and then PhD. Doesn't it sound a lot like that, your career path at the company which you work for? You know, first of all, you're just on probation, maybe an intern, and then you're just a small worker, and then maybe got office manager, and you go off to the section manager, and after section management, VP. Doesn't that sound like a career path to you? Please don't look at it that way. That's why the main emphasis of this retreat is not this career path to enlightenment. Have you ever noticed the monks, they all look the same? We don't wear a medal when we have been confirmed you got first jhana. You don't get your first jhana medal. So then afterwards, you know, the second jhana, the third jhana, the fourth jhana medal, so you can wear them on your chest when that's confirmed by a great master. You don't get these stripes, you know, on your arm. That here's a screen winner, get one stripe, once returner, two stripes, three stripes means you're a non-returner, and you get these little pips on your shoulders when you become an arahant. You don't get things like that. You don't get your levitation medal, you know, with a little bar on the back. You don't do that, do you? All of us look exactly the same. There's a reason for that, because that is not the point of what we're doing here. I mentioned the very first evening I came here. Maybe you forgot it, but I will remind you again. Ajahn Chah used to tell us, you meditate not to attain things. You meditate to let go of things. So on this retreat, when you go back and say, what did you get? What did you get? He said, no, there's nothing to do with this retreat.
I lost a lot on this retreat.
That's why, if any of you have read the foreword to The Art of Disappearing, you'll see in that foreword, and I mentioned this point, that it's not to attain, it's to let go of things. So you come here to lose things. And some of you have done very well and are really qualified as losers. So hopefully you're all losers. So if someone, you go back to Singapore and say, you're a loser.
Yeah.
I'm a loser. I'm on the path. And if you want to be the biggest loser, the hour half, you're the biggest loser. Because that, do you have, there was a TV show apparently in the West called The Biggest Loser? You see that TV show? But I'm the biggest loser. Because you're losing things. Now that is what we're supposed to be doing. When you lose things, you become more free. And when you become more free, you become more happy. You're letting go of attachment. Letting go of judging yourself or comparing yourself with others. You are totally unique. There's not another person in this whole universe who's ever been like you. I say that to people when I give them interviews. I say, in all the years I've taught meditation, there's never been anybody like you. And you think, oh God, I must be terrible. So please, don't judge yourself. Don't judge your progress in meditation. I will not give you a report card. Please don't give yourself a report card. Don't leave this place and think, yeah, actually, I did well. Or, no, I did terribly. You're giving yourself a report card again. That's the cause of suffering. You just, that's all. Or just peaceful. Then you learn what we mean by letting go of attachment and being free. Imagine, have a fantasy of living in a world where no one judges you or compares you. Where you're not really compared, ugly, beautiful, old or young. Where you don't compare your fat or your thin or your overweight or your underweight. That's my problem, I just don't judge myself. You do, that's your problem. For me, I'm free. That's why I'm very healthy. So, don't judge yourself with your meditation. And then it's amazing, you are at peace. It's not whether you've got jhanas, or whether you've got nimittas, or whether you can watch the breath, or you can even sit here for 1 hour, or 2 hours, or only 5 minutes. That is not the point of this meditation retreat. The point is, are you happy with who you are? Are you happy to be here? Are you still really disappointed because you didn't live up to some false expectations? Or are you really at peace with yourself? Isn't it a wonderful sense of freedom? I'm not going to judge myself, I'm just going to be free. Free who I am, I fall asleep, that's my body, I'm happy. Are you happy when you fall asleep? It's quite nice falling asleep through meditation, you don't have to work hard to watch the breath, you don't have to get blown out of your head with all these nimittas and sparkly stuff, it's much more peaceful when you fall asleep. To be happy to be the sleepy meditator. Now that's what close to enlightenment. I always remember some stories which I got from other traditions. Actually, what time do people have to leave? It's now 9:35. The 9:45ers. I'll just tell one more story and then you can go, because it's a lovely story. This I got from the Zen tradition, from the teachings of Rinchi in the West known as Rinzai. And this was part of his biography. I already mentioned to you in some of these monasteries, these Zen monasteries, the master would come with a big stick and he would whack you on the back. I mean, it would really hurt. By the sound of it, I never got hit, but by the sound of someone next to me getting hit, all my spots and torpor went for days after that. I was so afraid to get hit myself. But you know, sometimes it can be quite violent. And years ago, this was about 13th century, in one of the Zen monasteries, I think it was still in China, this guy Rinzai, Lin Chi, early in the morning, and his head was down here somewhere. fast asleep in the early morning, supposed to be meditating. Now this was a world famous monk, was a great teacher, started a whole tradition of Buddhism. The master came in with a big stick. And the monk was very compassionate, he spoke next to him. Hey, wake up, master's coming. You know what Rinpoche did? He opened one eye, not two eyes, that's too much effort. He opened one eye and saw the real master and closed his eyes and carried on speaking. And the master exploded. He was so upset and angry. He said, all you monks in this hall, you're all stupid, you're all control freaks. There's only one real monk in this monastery, and that's that monk half asleep.
And when I heard that, I thought, that's really good. But then I thought, well, maybe I could become enlightened too then.
Now the meaning, what's the meaning of that story? The meaning of that story is, don't judge yourself for goodness sake. It's that judging yourself starts to become enlightened. That's the problem, because once you judge, you control. Once you control all this business of suffering and craving and wanting this and not wanting that and being upset because you didn't reach your goals, or being striving hard to make sure that maybe a few more hours and I can reach my goal, that's the problem. But just be happy to be stupid. I'm going to start a group. You've got Alcoholics Anonymous. Stupid people's rights. According to the Constitution of Singapore and Australia, you have a right to remain stupid. One of my favourite cartoons. Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to. Well, wait, I'll finish this one and then I will stop. One of my favourite cartoons was Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know if you know Calvin and Hobbes, but it's very, very funny. Because some of the stuff he says is so smart. This little boy was in grade one or two at school, and the teacher was teaching about the American Constitution. The American Constitution was the constitutionally guaranteed right to the pursuit of happiness. So this guy Calvin was very smart. He said, hey, if ignorance is bliss, then school is taking away my constitutional right to happiness. I'm getting out of here. It's a really good argument. So, sometimes the pursuit of things is where we lose our happiness. In meditation, the pursuit of life, you have to pursue things. If I don't let you go, actually, Angie's going to pursue me. So, for those of you who have to go now, please, now is the time to go. Who's the ones who are going on the... Is it? Okay. Very, very good. You're not going to hear much more. All these stories you've heard many times before, so you're not missing anything. So have a great trip back, and hopefully I'll see you again next time, next place, somewhere in samsara. Unless you're enlightened, I'll see you again. Anyone else need to go? So, okay, very good. So that's how we sort of learn how to let things be. And at the end of the retreat again, please do not judge your retreat. And somebody says, how was it? Just like this, that's all. I lost a lot. And then actually you're teaching people some wonderful things. We gain so much in life. And every time we gain things, we have a burden. Even on this retreat, some of you are so kind. You give me all this stuff. A lot of it I've left in my room, but the workers take it. Some of it I've given away. But even so, unfortunately I didn't lose anything on this retreat. I gave a few pounds, I'm sure. And also my bag's a little bit heavy, but I'll get rid of those things to back on. Is your suitcase more heavy than when you came, or lighter than when you came? If it's lighter than when you came, it's wonderful, you made progress. If it's heavier, you're going backwards. Isn't it hard to carry all this heavy weight? Isn't it really hard to carry all this heavy weight in your head about attainments and having to achieve things? Isn't it wonderful to be free? Have you ever had someone in your family, a lot of times it's like a grandfather or a grandmother, who just loves you for who you are, who doesn't ask you to achieve and get your A levels and O levels and advancing your career, no matter what that career is. never had a person like that. They're just happy to see who you are. He doesn't ask, you know, how much money you've got, or how your relationships are going, or how much you're achieving in the world. Can you be that person for yourself? I remember my old grandma. I loved her to bits. Because I could always go round to her little apartment any time of the day, any time of the night. And she said, do you want some chips? My mother will never do that. She said, if you have some chips, you know you're not going to have your lunch, or you're not going to be able to have your dinner. You know, forget that, girl. This is my daughter. That's what I told her. But for you, whatever you want, you can have it any time you like. I'd love it if you like, grandma. He gave me unconditional love. If that's what you want, you're my grandson, you get it. And that was it. But there's something about that which my grandchildren to their grandparents, they love them to bits, because the grandparents, they don't have to discipline you anymore, they don't have to train you, they don't have to make you better. The job of the grandparents is just to love their grandchildren unconditionally. And sometimes they do that, and it's wonderful. This is why grandchildren and grandparents, they get on together so well. Can you think of a grandparent like that? Someone who's always there for you, will do anything for you, any time of the day or night. And never criticise you, never said, oh, that's bad for your health, or whatever. That's what you want. That's what I can give you. And that's how you should be to yourself. To be kind to yourself. And it's beautiful. Don't push yourself. You have to meditate. You have to get nervous. You have to get jealous. If you do things like that, it goes against the path. Just let yourself be. Let yourself be stupid. A long time ago, you know, I really tried hard to keep my robe on and keep it very stiff. These days I'm old enough now, I can slip off. Who cares? I'm happy. A long time ago, I was saying, oh, stop taking photographs of me. I'm an ugly old man. Okay, you know, if I was Justin Bieber, I can understand that. Because he's hot. I'm not hot. So why are you taking photographs of people? You know, it's really sort of disconcerting. When I went to Jakarta a couple of years ago, and they wanted me to do a book launch in the biggest bookstore in Jakarta, that's Gramedia. And I walked in there, hey, I know that guy. And it was me. Had this big cardboard cutout of me. And it's still there, apparently. It's actually moved to many other stores. And it's very disconcerting. It's almost life size. And I go in there and say, it's very, very accurate. Very looks like me. In fact, this one woman, you know, she's a disciple, you know, she's an Indonesian, lives in Perth. She got a photograph, you know, got her husband to take a photograph with her arm around me. For a joke, I give that out to people, you know, and I say, hey, you know, let's see what this girl did. That's a mom, you should not do that. You can't have a woman's arm around you. And then I do the next, and then afterwards, the second picture, they can see it's a cardboard cutout. So look, Angie, or Angie, can you please get a copy of that cardboard cutout? So I can put it up here. Can you just put it in any photographs that you want? And I can be, you know, a piece of love. You can even put your hand around me, isn't it, girl? Because it's cardboard, it's got the real thing. You wonder what people are doing that for. But anyway, so you don't judge people, you just let things be and have fun with life. So even if it's not what you want, not what you expect, you're at peace with it and have fun with it. That's how to meditate. So as I say, I sometimes see demons in meditation. I have great fun with my demons, really good fun. Now, paint them up, make them look stupid, you know, give them coloured hair like punks. You know, well, these demons look really ridiculous after I've finished with them for 5 minutes. That's why they never come back again. So whatever I do, I always have fun with what I'm doing. That is how you are at peace, you let go. Don't get angry at life. Laugh at them. Have much more fun. Don't get angry at your meditation. If you've had the most stupid meditation, you've totally wasted your time. You've gone backwards. You know, before you may have gotten impetus, but this retreat you've had for absolutely nothing. What would I say to you? well done. Laugh at yourself. Because that attitude is the most important. It's not what you experience, but how you experience it in life. That's the most important thing. If you get jhanas, and you get attached to them in the sense that, wow, I've got jhanas. Anyone else get jhanas? And you say, yes, I've got first jhanas. That's nothing, first jhanas. I've got first jhanas at my first retreat. I'm on third jhanas now. And someone says, third jhanas? Look, I have got fourth jhanas. Now that sort of attitude, you realize, is lightly it's away from nirvana. Unfortunately, that's what happens these days, you know, that jhanas have become very popular. Because of that, people actually start saying, yeah, I've got fourth jhana, I've got third jhana. I look at them, they haven't. They're just saying that. Because they've gone to some technique, some teacher, who gives away jhanas like popcorn. Not the real thing, but they're very popular teachers. Because you can go there and they even give you a certificate, you're a streamer. It's not true. So these are not the way to meditate. It's the relationship you have with things. If you're tired, just make peace. Be kind, be gentle. If you're being suicidal, make peace. Be kind, be gentle with being suicidal. If you're at peace with it, you never do it. You just can't get the motivation. So what, no matter what's going on in your life, the relationships you have to these thoughts, to these ideas, these objects of the mind, that is where meditation, where life really happens. So at the end of the retreat, what's your relationship with the end of the retreat? Are you disappointed? Are you happy? Or just say, it's just the end of the retreat, that's all. End of the retreat, the beginning of another. It doesn't really matter at all. Being there, done that many times. So I made peace, I'm kind, I'm gentle, no matter what happens. You go to the airport, your plane is delayed. How do you react to that? Oh, that's delayed, we'll get there someday. Make peace, be kind, be gentle, whatever happens. You get a heart attack on the airport. Oh, I've got to get a heart attack one day. Make peace, be kind, be gentle, whatever happens. If the aircraft is plummeting to the ground to get stuck in turbulence, well, make peace, we can't be happy. Now you're a meditator. Whatever happens to your life, it's your attitude towards it. Remember, get the right attitude, and then your meditation will take off, your business will take off, your life will take off. You'll have no more cravings, no more illness, no more having to live up to somebody's expectations of me, whether it's my parents' expectations, my husband's expectations, my wife's expectations, or please, not your teacher's expectations. I've lost all hope for you. That's a long time ago. I don't expect anything out of you at all. I don't expect anything out of yourself. I've been telling a lot of people, this. I like being rebellious and putting things out in a way that no one else did. If you want to be successful in life, lower your expectations. And it's much easier to be successful. You reach your expectations much earlier in life when you lower them. There's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? So, okay, go out in the world. Don't tell that to your boss, otherwise you're going to be in big trouble. But, in your own life, lower your expectations to be how you are. My expectation is to be me. That's what I expect out of me. Because I expect what I've already got, I'm totally at peace with my life. I don't expect anything more from me. I don't expect me to always be making up new stories and new jokes. I don't expect that at all. Yet I'm totally at peace with myself. Like it or not, that's who I am. So I'm at peace. Therefore I feel free. Therefore, I feel happy. So that is how to meditate. Okay, I better do some questions here, otherwise I'll get into more trouble. Your nothingness. How does someone become a stream winner? I already mentioned that about when you go underneath the mist. You follow this little stream down. You get more peace, more happy, more joyful, until the mist of delusion disappears. You can actually see where you are.
At last you understand what life is, what the mind is, what the body is, what peace is, what happiness is. You're under the mist of delusion. And you do that by following the stream from it. More peaceful, more kind, more gentle. Please be as detailed and precise as possible. No. Why do you want so much precision and detail, for goodness sake? Even no matter how much you describe it. Yesterday I had lasagna for lunch. Very delicious. Can I describe it in detail? What did you have for lunch today? Or yesterday? Could you describe it for me in detail? You can't describe these things. It's just, if someone said, how did it taste? Have a taste for yourself. When you taste yourself, then you know. So that's how you describe these experiences in detail. Not with words. Through experiencing it for yourself. Linda, that was nice. Yeah, I agree with you. John is very delicious. That's the only way to describe it. Otherwise, you end up writing more Abhidhamma books. That's what the Abhidhamma tried to do, tried to explain it in detail. And what did it do? Created so many headaches and so much confusion. So keep it simple. Dearest Ajahn, it's my being at time here, and I really enjoyed it. Is that first? Last? I don't know. Anyway, it's my something time here. First, 1ST. It's my first time here, and I really enjoyed myself tremendously. I would love to take the opportunity to thank you for your wisdom and the behind-the-scenes team who made this wonderful retreat such a success. One with heartfelt thanks. I agree with that. And the team, the unseen team, those were the ghosts. But they were the good ghosts on this retreat. They kept all the bad ghosts down. So you thank for those. And those were the ghosts of Davis. You know, when the bad ghosts tried to turn off the electricity at night, the good ghosts came in and turned on again. So thank you for those unseen beings. We work literally behind the scenes. We're not talking about Eggchen and Shirley and all those other things that magic. We're talking about the ghosts. Amazing thing with ghosts, though. You know, you don't know who's the ghost and who's not a ghost. Now, some of the people who may have passed on in this hotel, because this hotel got quite heavily hit by the tsunami. So, quite a few people died here. So sometimes those Westerners who pass on the stairs, are you really sure? Really? I can say this that I can believe you today. So, is anyone staying another couple of nights? Oops. No, they're fine. Dear Ajahn Brahm, people will form their own opinion of you. It's up to us to have an amazing mind and care little for what others think. What if they think nice things about me? I'm not going to care about that. I suppose not. Anyway. By singer Olivia Newton-John in Singapore, paper, the Straits Times, life section, page 210. I don't understand this. Dear Sir Ajahn, oh, this must be Olivia Newton-John saying things. People will form their own opinion of you. It's up to us to have an amazing life and care little for others think. By singer Olivia Newton-John in Singapore paper, the Straits Times, last section, page C10, May the 8th, 2012. Yeah. So she must have been reading some of my books. That's true. So you have an amazing life. What other people say about you, how can they judge you? And it's so hard even to judge yourself. Do you really know who you are? Can you really judge yourself? With all your faults and all the mistakes you've made in life, and all being upset at some of the things you do which you hope you shouldn't do. No, that's judging. What's the opposite of judging? You say to yourself, me, this person I've lived with all my life, the first person I see when I wake up every morning, even if I go overseas, I take this person with me, my constant companion, me. The door of my heart will always be open to you, me. So, I'll now give you a little exercise, a quick exercise in loving kindness. Keep it on. Don't worry about it. Don't change it. I want you now to put out your two arms. Please put out your two arms. Put out your two arms like this. Now bring them in. Together. Give your two arms. That's right. Really nice. Loving kind. Whenever you get really fed up, the boss has just sacked you. Your partner, when you go back to Singapore, has found that partner's run off with your best friend. Emptied out all your bank accounts, and you got the biopsy results saying you're going to die in a few days. When it all goes wrong like that. You know, it works. Do what you're doing, say, I'm going to open the door of my heart to myself, no matter who I am, no matter what happens. That's an important part of meditation. So don't go home saying, oh, everybody else got jhana, not me. I didn't even get nimittas. I didn't get anything, and this is my sixth retreat. No, don't do things like that. Just love yourself a bit. The door of my heart perfectly open to me, no matter who I am. Whatever other people say about you, they don't know what they're saying. They criticize you when you're doing things good. A lot of times, you know, when I make mistakes, actually they praise me. Weird, isn't it? Sometimes I do stupid things, and they say, that's a wonderful talk, I think, Bob. Well, that's really nice chanting, and I've got the chanting wrong. So sometimes I get criticized for things I didn't do, and I get praised for things I didn't do as well. That's fair enough. So don't care a little for what other people think about you. Just be kind to yourself. Here we go. Wow, that's a long question tonight. Dear Ajahn, I brought your book Opening the Door of Your Heart, and now I want to read from it. Thank you. This is actually really true. That somebody, they were looking for that book in a bookstore, I think it was in Adelaide, they finally found it. It was in the medical section, under cardiac surgery. Some guys are working in the store, just look at the cover, open the door of your heart, put it in the medical section. Well, I haven't really done it, anyway. I bought your book, Opening Your Heart, and gave it to my hubby to read. At first he was so happy to see your face on the cover. But the moment he turned the pages, his face turned to disappointment. Because he wasn't a bookworm. He loves to read and see the comic books since he was 8-6 years old. A picture tells 14,000 words, he asked. He asked whether is there a book from you which had a lot of pictures, cartoon photos, etc. He went to your talk many years ago when it was held at the Buddhist Lodge in River Valley Road. I saw your face in the papers, advertisement with heartfelt thanks. Yes, there is. So the Indonesians, they've got a couple of comic books out. And the main one is, because I'm Australian, it was Kangaroo Guru. It's a very, very smart title. Kangaroo Guru. It's coming in English, yes. So we have comic books. So Kangaroo Guru, who saved Australia from the Wicked King or something, I don't know what he did, but anyway, it's supposed to be for kids. But I love reading comics. I've already said my favourite comic, Calvin and Hobbes. But please don't get me the anthology of Calvin and Hobbes. I've got about 4 copies of every volume ever done by Calvin and Hobbes in my modesty. We've got enough of that. But it's true that comics, you know, just in their actions, they do speak 1,000 words. And also, they're very funny as well. And the humour is usually teaching you something very profound. One of the other Calvin and Hobbes comics I really liked was they were discussing life in outer space and aliens and why the aliens have never visited Earth. And that's what Calvin said, the surest, most certain sign is intelligence in outer space is they haven't visited Earth. They're intelligent, for goodness sake. Only stupid people come here. You leave some fine stuff. I was the other, there was a very good cartoon recently where he said, Miss Wonder, why do we keep thinking about things? And I think Calvin replied, he said, we don't have to think about things, we have to face reality, and that's very scary. This is a cartoon for kids. That's amazing. If you didn't think about things, you'd have to face things.
that can be scary sometimes. It's much more of an escape to think about it. So your
something.
That's your venerable, empty worthlessness. No, worthy.
I like the pet worthlessness.
That's why nothingness. Would a person, how much are really worth? If I got kidnapped by pirates, how much would you raise for me? Ah, come on, let him go. Tell me a little bit. Thank you. Would a person who is ungrounded get more so with meditations? Depends what you're grounded in and what you're ungrounded in. If you do lots of meditation, you get grounded in peace and freedom. You get grounded in the right things. If you're naughty, your parents ground you. But that's not really what we're getting in here. A lot of times this ungrounded means you've lost touch with reality. And people lost touch with reality, and mostly the people who go to work every Monday morning in Singapore. They lost touch with reality. What's reality all about? Just making money all the time and trying to get your condo and trying to get this and that. Is that reality? Or is the real reality? Is this the time you have with your family, the peace of mind, the inner happiness, the health? So please get in touch with reality. Sometimes people say this. At the end of this retreat, said, "Oh, now we've got to go back to the real world." In Singapore, what do you mean the real world? Look how people are dressed. That's not the real. They're just covered in makeup. The men are covered with aftershave. That's not the real smell. And all of your houses, they're painted up, following this myth of happiness. You just look in the magazines. The only way to be happy is to get a fast car with a hot chick. You see all these car advertisements, and they're mostly for men who buy these cars, and there's always a beautiful woman come with that car. You go to the show, you buy your car, it doesn't come with a woman. That is a myth. You should sue people for advertising like that. And you go overseas and then you're happy, you see people by the beach. I've seen these advertisements of people by the beach and they're sipping their martinis or whatever, you never show the mosquitoes by the beach. And all the other stuff you have to do to get there in the first place. So, what is real life? Hey, this is reality. Eight precepts, no entertainment, no makeup, nothing to cover who you really are. No self distractions. Coming to find out who you are, making peace with yourself, no matter who you have to be. And realizing you can discover who you are because you're fine. Wherever you have to be when you find yourself, you're totally accepted. The door of the heart, totally accepted, totally open to wherever you have to be. Even the Buddha would accept Agudibala, you know, the serial killer. Would accept prostitutes, would accept anybody. You're all welcome. Isn't that wonderful to be welcome? Only birth. Every now and again, people complain. There's some girls who come to my talk are badly dressed. They come to my talk and then they go to the nightclub afterwards. So they're dressed for nightclub, they're for clubbing. And so they say, "Oh, it's too short a skirt. You know, too much cleavage. You show your boobs in front of monks. That's really bad." And I will tell them a story about Padmacharya. When she came into the temple where the Buddha was speaking, she had nothing on at all, totally naked, and she was a young lady. She'd just given birth, a young hot chick with no clothes on coming into the monastery. And what did the monk say? "Get out of here, you can't come in here." The Buddha said, "No, let's see. Come in." And one of the monks put a robe around her and he taught her the Dhamma. She became one of the best teachers, not only totally enlightened, but she became a hero of Buddhism, Padmacharya. She was crazy at first. But just because you're crazy and wearing no clothes, So if a naked Thai girl came to this door, would you tell her to go? Or would you open the door of your heart and say, "No, come in, get a robe so they can cover you, keep you warm," and then let her just come back? It's beautiful, you can open the door of your heart for anybody. Going into prisons when you teach there, that's not all the prisons. Actually, you respect us. Of course I do. The door of my heart's open to rapists, for murderers, serial killers. You've got such a big heart, everybody can come. Isn't that nice? Even terrorists can come in. Osama bin Laden's ashamed he's gone now, but he can come into my heart as well. Come on, come on, Osama, you can. Why not? Beautiful idea in your heart to be so open. And that's actually grounded in reality. All the other stuff is grounded in the concocted obedience of media and of the world. Don't really think you do yourself. Spoil other people's savings. The meditation is clear on that, you can just see the truth. See what's really there, rather than what you thought to be. A person who's ungrounded would not meditate as well as one who is, right, in a month ago. What are the ways a person can ground himself or herself? You are grounded, sitting on the ground, it's grounded up in you. How you ground yourself is make sure you land safely when you get home tonight. Next question, how to let go easily from bad experience and bad memory? It's not bad. It's fertilizer for your mango tree. You know the old simile, you tread in the dog poo, always take it home with you, and dig it under the mangoes. I've had mangoes almost every day here, and I know where those mangoes come from. They fertilize it. I think it's usually with water buffalo poo. Have you ever eaten water buffalo poo? Yes, you have. Every time you eat poo in this place, it's water buffalo feces transformed into delicious mango seed. That tastes nice. So when you have your fruit today for lunch, remember what you're eating. You're eating kiwi. The Thai people know what I'm talking about. Kiwi. What does that mean? It means buffalo shit. That's what you're eating. That's what fertilizes it in the countryside. So when you understand that, you understand the meaning of life. When you have bad experience, it's kiwi. It's water buffalo food. For your mango trees, for your rice, for all the other foods you're eating. So that's how you use bad experiences. They're not bad uncle, actually quite good. No matter what that happens to be. I really mean that. The worst possible experience is a rigorous fertilizer for your compassion and wisdom. Last question. Before we have a tea break, a toilet break, sorry. And after the toilet break, we'll do some last meditation. This morning's meditation came into this space jar. Where one can see in the dark clearly. It's like crystal clear, serene, and tranquil. As I sat in the center of this space. Thank you. Your holiness. That's another word I like, the holiness, because there's a big hole in here. Especially just before lunch, which I was shortly for lunch. But that's just somebody having good meditation. This is nice, you have nice peace when you have a good meditation. Now you get a taste of freedom. You get a glimpse of peace. You get an idea of what real happiness is. You come into the real world. The real world inside of yourself. The peace and happiness and freedom and acceptance. Real love. Turn to peace with yourself and the whole world. You go out back to work again. You work your butt off for your company. But with a smile this time. Rather than frown. Happy and peace with what you have to do. If I find it happy and at peace, the Lord has asked which you made me do. Sign your books, take your photographs, here we go again. But with the attitude you have, make free if you can't be better. And then you are free. So now you are free to go to the toilet and let go and make peace and be kind to your bottom so you can free it from that tension. And be kind to your bladder as it opens up and lets go. Okay.
John?
Yeah.
Something happened to listen to Hong Kong City speech.
Oh, yeah.
And I was taken aback.
Yeah.
She might have read your book somewhere. Because she says, your word of the Nobel Prize, Nobel Prize will open the door of the heart.
Aha!
And you went on the internet.
There we go. Did she quote that?
She didn't quote the book, but then she went on top of Drupal. And she told the audience that she could do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And she spent her time doing the, what for it?
Hasaret, yeah.
Doing Buddhism.
Yeah.
And quoted the book so.
Well, that is very true, because I know that somebody who went to give her that book, they managed to get an appointment with them, so they said, I'm getting the book, can I sign one for her? So I signed one for her.
Oh.
So she has got the book for sure. So it's quite
lovely.
See, the changing the world. Now you have to get one to Lee Kuan Yew and his son, and Stephen Dwight to Obama. Very good. Another one. Okay. Very good. Oh yeah. That was fun. Yours. Hey, I am. I've got to call you. I remember you. I was kicking. Okay. Is that not all of them? Sure. Okay. So your pen will make such good karma, you'll get reborn as a mob black. Very good. Okay, it's time to spin.
Yeah. And therefore, they're not allowed at all to go to Malaysia. So,
Ghost. Come on, Ghost. Good Ghost. Very good.
Okay, for those of you who want to do some more meditation, now's the opportunity to do a loving kindness guided meditation. So let's do this last bit of meditation, just to get everybody's stillness and peace all together, to make it as wishing all beings happiness and well-being. And especially, it's a very nice transition from stillness and meditation to transfer that to metta, loving kindness. So when you go back to work, you go back with a happy heart, realizing the stillness and the peace which you have inherited from this retreat, you really are going to share with other people with your kindness. So, is anybody here? Let's go back to the toilet now. So, sitting down, closing your eyes. Getting your body nice and comfortable, as you can. Sure your body is really relaxed. This is going to be the last formal meditation before I go to my lunch. Just make this one count. When the body is relaxed, just as it were, just put it aside. Look in your mental world. Let go of all the past, everything which has happened during this retreat. No need to think about it or worry about it. And all that's going to happen afterwards, and journeys back to your home places, the future of life, leave all that to the habit. Now it's your time, you can just be peaceful, just leave here.
him go in the past. Let him go in the future. And then really are coming home. From to now. This is the only place you'll ever find peace of mind. Any time you ever find happiness. The only place you'll ever understand life. Right now. Your future won't be destroyed if you just stay in the present moment. In fact, give you the moment, making peace, be kind, be gentle right now. Is the best you can possibly do for your future. This is where your future peace and happiness and good health is made. Make peace now. You have peace in the future. Be kind now. You have a future full of love. Just be gentle. You'll find you'll be able to understand like that. Just be easy. And try not to judge this moment. Go down, who knows? Just let this moment be. There's no one present, that's usually what we add to this moment. There's no one thing. There's no ill will. Then you're at peace with this moment. And you experience sensations of the body. It's all of the sensations. No good, no bad. And the sense is just the face. And the air, just the head. And the sea, just the sea. And the nose, just the mouth. Set the body to Bahia. And Bahia became another one in the other. Whatever you're cognizing right now, let it be yourself. No good, no bad. No judgment. To be with it. Opening with all your heart to this love as it is. There's no judgment. No good. No bad. Just peace.
silent meditation. Enter his life as follows. We start by putting a hat, some newspaper, which very easily takes the brain. And out of newspaper you put tweets, after tweets, bigger pieces of wood. And gradually, even bigger pieces of wood. Only at the end you put on the big heavy ropes. Only then is there enough heat for them to burn. You start with easy things like paper. In metta, loving kindness, meditation, do the same. You start with an easy object. To me, I developed my imaginary little kitten. I prefer imaginary objects because they don't carry so much baggage as real beings. But if there is a pet in your home or a child, or someone you find it very, very, very easy to have to use the loving kindness towards, then visualize it. Imagine you're standing right in front of you, or try and imagine the little kitten. This little kitten can meet me. Without my protection and my warmth, it goes to you to find and give it food. My little abandoned kitten would die. Would die very cold and hungry and lonely like. And every time I match my little kitten, I give him our protection and love. Dear little kitten, I am your friend. I will care for you, protect you, and help you. And I give that which is a bit of kindness to my kitten. You can see in his eyes that gives me a good smile back. And then you pick it up and bring it to my chest. So I can hold it very gently. Close the soft throat. And hear my little kid start to grow. I'm giving you loving kindness. And I say, Kitten, you can understand the word dog or mother, father, lover, friend, child. Any being you find very easy to have loving kindness towards. Find this kitten. Dear little kitten. May you always be happy and well. Always know you have a home here next to you. As you wander out in life, getting hurt, getting afraid, please know there's always one place you can come back to where you feel safe, cared for, and accepted. Where everyone else in the world can criticize and reject you. Shout the flaws in your face. My door was broken. Dear kitten, you have a friend. The Kaliana Mitra is a snake in Buddhism. Who will love you unconditionally forever. Dear little kitten, the door of my heart will always be open to you. No matter what you ever do, no matter where you go. As you hold and hug and spread these feelings of warmth and kindness and protection and love to your little imaginary first object, like a paper, it takes the fire very easily. During the loving kindness meditation, if your mental starts to diminish, go back to the easy object, just like when the fire goes out, you get some paper and light it again. I imagine my little kitten with his big eyes. His eyes which can't hear before I give him up. You see his body relax. And I sit down in his compassion. You can see his eyes close as he starts to turn. And he knows he's perfectly safe because he's cared for. And I give that care to my little kitten. The little kid gives his care back to me. So I hold it to my chest. I feel this warmth filled up between us. The warmth between my living being and another. The kindness, acceptance, and care. This world can be a very cruel place.
they criticized each other, exploited each other, and felt each other. Then a good friend is going to hold you close. He really does care for you. The person in whose company you can feel perfectly safe is a great blessing. You give that blessing to your imaginary friend. Dear to you, may you always be happy and well. When tears come, may I be the one who grasps it for you. In your life, I'll be the one standing next to you. When you're afraid, I'll protect you. Dear to you, do not just words. These are promises which I will keep. Because I care for you. My love and kindness goes right inside you and all around you. I don't want anything back. Just that care. Give me beautiful love and kindness, this matter to imagine here. And can you do actually feel this warmth, this excitement in your chest area? The physical counterpart to matter is usually felt around the chest. You feel your tingling becoming alive. And then you find another object, usually a real being, a real person. And you spend a lot of time with it. And you find it very easy to love also. This is about the kindling to the fire. You imagine them as they come right in front of you, right now. And you say to them too, dear friend, companion, brother, the door of my heart is open to you too. I really care for you. Just sometimes I'm not an upset and angry, but that's just because I'm not perfect. But before that, and after that, and all around me, I truly care for you. Dear friend, companion, brother, I really want you to be happy. I want to take away your fears and your pain whenever I can. I want to protect you and have the opportunity of looking after you. Dear friend, companion, brother, may you be free from suffering. May I be the one who takes it away. May I be the one who gives you fun, who makes you smile, who makes you feel safe. May I be the one that the whole world criticizes you, respects you, and makes you see the worth in your life when other people only see the faults. Dear friend, I care for you. I love you, I protect you. My nature goes all around and right inside of me. And again, I create you. Imagine as you think these thoughts, looking at that being, and seeing them soften, seeing them know their child of home, the place where they believe who they are, without having to look out from other people's eyes. They're accepted for who they are, with unconditional love and kindness. As you spread this loving kindness to your best friend, imagine that there's a golden light in your chest, which is causing that excitement on your skin just above the chest. And that golden light is bursting through your body. The golden light of metta. It's surrounding the baby with this close friend. Healing, soothing, giving happiness where there was once pain, giving hope when there was despair, giving this beautiful sense that I am loved and cared for. This is the right to do. Giving this to a closest friend and maybe a son or daughter, a partner, a parent, or just a really, really close friend. So if you can imagine, you can visualize, imagine your arms coming out from your side, going around your backs and pulling them towards you, warming their body with your body, feeling their pain, to know myself. Be kind to me. And you want to be happy and well. Be kind to me for your suffering. And carry the task is now on you. Be with you. Feel the beautiful form of life. I want to love you. Now you can choose another close friend, family member or colleague. Do the same to them. They too need your love and kindness. There is beautiful, strong love and kindness energy. The golden light. Go right from your heart through your skin, surrounding them wherever they happen to be right now. Maybe hundreds of miles, thousands of miles away. Please know, dear friend, dear companion, I care for you. In this moment, I wish you happiness, freedom from pain and despair. May you too be happy and well. Without opening your eyes, now imagine all the people in this room, all of them. There may be friends, there may be people you've met for the first time on this retreat. They're just like you, sensitive people who are working hard in this world.
Trying to get peace.
Trying to get peace, trying to get happiness, trying to make a better world. Spend all that golden energy, spend all of that to everybody in this room. I care for you all. I truly want you to be at peace and happy and smile. May any aches and pains or sicknesses, may they disappear because of the power of my kindness. I truly care for you. We give this love and kindness to all the beings in this world. Like big hands coming out from your side, going around the edges of this room, leading to the far side, and drawing everybody into yourself. There is this golden light which heals the aches and the pains and the sicknesses and the tiredness. May all beings in this room be free from fear and anxiety. To know that you don't have to prove anything, cut it out to anything. And my love for you is unconditional. I love you for who you are. So relax and be yourself. Knowing that you are respected. You are loved. And send this beautiful golden energy of loving kindness. So it's salted to every person sitting in this room, bathing, freeing, liberating them, giving this beautiful, warm energy of love. To all beings in this room, though they are careful. How do you feel in your chest area now? You'll find the more fuel you put on the fire, the more warm it becomes. The tingling in your chest gets stronger and stronger as these beams of golden energy come out from you and warm everybody in this room, taking away the pains of their past or the fears of their future, taking away their guilt, things which they might have done and looked out of. Give you this beautiful sense of freedom. Freedom from the pain of the past and the fear of the future. Knowing that our love is careful. Just like when you were a child and your mother loved you, you felt so safe in her arms. And the arms of all the meditators in this room. Feel safe, valued, and cared for. This golden energy soaks through every part of every being, to the limitless past, for all the future, soaking with love, with compassion, with love and kindness. is unconditional, may all the beings in this room be happy and well. The door of our hearts is totally open to each other. And no barriers come in. Then imagine that golden energy from every meditation in this room getting so strong. It goes through the doors, through the walls, through the roof. To every being in this resort. Not just to the workers and the other guests, to the cooks and the cleaners, to the people manning the spa and the pools, to the letters that have come to this moment. To all the birds and the animals on the ground. To all beings in this resort. Right now, may you take my life and my care. You may feel lonely, but not now. There's so many people are spreading their kindness and warmth to you. Their goodwill, beautiful golden energy. To the little cats, other dogs you may have seen in this retreat. They're all beings. Feel free from fear. And understand that we may be in a different species, a different race, a different gender. We all share this beautiful life and care for everybody. May all beings in this resort, in the air, on the ground, or standing, may they all be free from suffering and pain. May their smiles get wider. And they know they're receiving the warmth of unconditional love and love. All the people creep your rooms and cook your food. All the people who have organized this and that for you. Who clean, lay the garments and swept the path. May all the beings be free of pain and suffering. May they never be separated from happiness. May we be free of peace. With the golden light, pervades this whole resort. Give the people peace and happiness. With only for these few moments. Let's spread that loving kindness even further. Further as far as the orphanage. Kids who've lost their whole family. In that great way. We know that they've been cared for. Even little gestures count the most. To all the people working up and down this holiday strip, the people in Phuket, the people in the airport, working hard just like you do, but probably for much less money. To all the people in this part of China, whether they are Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or whatever. May all beings be happy. May they subconsciously know that people are thinking of them and caring for them. You should give this golden energy, this golden light, throughout this area, to all beings, the animals and the birds, even the little housekeepers. Just doing what they've been programmed genetically to do. I don't know your rules or what they're doing. Just looking for something to do. May all beings be happy and well. Free from fear. At peace in this moment. May I take away their pain. And replace them with happiness. The door of my heart. It's totally open to all beings, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you do. The beautiful unconditional love to all beings. And then you spread it further. Many of you are from Malaysia and Singapore. You spread it to those areas. You spread it north, up to Bangkok, where other people live. You spread it down to Australia, Indonesia, spirit out for the whole week and the whole earth. Imagining this great planet Earth being covered with a golden light, pure energy, of love and kindness. Let all beings in this planet Earth, in these two moments, know peace. Know that they don't need to be afraid, and we care for them. Know that they are not alone, because we think of them. Know that we wish them well, and happiness, and peace, and well-being. This planet Earth has many wars. Many animals are running for their lives. In this moment, they stand as near. May the guns fall silent, may the arguments cease. If the people shouting at each other realize they're really only shouting at themselves. May all people feel this beautiful freedom in their heart and true feel now. May the whole world be at peace. May all beings be free from fear. May all beings be happy and well. The beautiful, unconditional, limitless, boundless loving kindness spreads throughout the whole planet Earth and the rest of the universe as well. Imagine the planet Earth glowing, healing, liberating, freeing. And he spreads his loving kindness without boundary, without exception, to all beings. And that's included those who refer to in the past. They too get a share of this beautiful energy and love. And last of all, you bring that loving kindness to the one being you left out, which is yourself. Without opening your eyes, imagine when you last looked in the mirror at yourself. This little girl, this little boy, even though they may be 70, 80 years of age. The person you've grown up with and lived with. You've had so many experiences with, many present, sometimes so painful, you wonder how you draw. Look at that being called you. And spread this beautiful golden light and love all around you and deep inside of you. And you say to yourself, me, the person I've grown up with, the door of my heart is open to myself. Whoever I am, whatever I am, whatever people say about me, wherever I may go, I love me. I accept me, the whole of me, even the stuff that I'm not proud of, my mistakes. You can even imagine this part of yourself, this shadow side, the dark part of you, that has been kept out of your heart for far too long. I imagine a little stairway going up to my heart, and this part of me which I'm not proud of, walking up those steps, and by walking that part of me, with open arms, come in. Even you I can love, embrace, and accept, and be at peace with. And you're at peace with all of your past, with all of your present, and you found to make peace with your future, whatever it turns out to be. Because it's beautiful love and kindness, acceptance and warmth to yourself. You were like that abandoned kid. Just as if needing love and protection. Realize so to yourself.
that I cease free from pain and disappointment. May I be free from fear and sickness. May I be happy and well. May I receive my own love. This is beautiful ball of golden energy. Goes right inside of you, your heart. Radiates out to every part of your body. This spreads to the earliest part of your past and to all of your future. I love my heart. I'm at peace with it, even though it may not be perfect. May all beings, including myself, be at peace and be free. Just notice how that feels while I become silent for 2 to 3 minutes. Imagine that golden ball of light flowing inwards and inwards and inwards. The attraction from the world is in you until it gets focused as a concentrated ball of mental energy hovering just above your heart. And visualize your heart like a beautiful white lotus, fully open in this golden ball of pure love and kindness, resting right in its middle. Then imagine the petals of the lotus slowly closing, embracing love and kindness, the fragrant feathers of petals, the lotus flower, representing your heart. Until the lotus totally closes, keeping, preserving, maintaining that love and kindness, right in the center of your heart, to be used in another time, in another place. Now do the final blessing. Keep your eyes closed. And only when the blessing finishes, only then, open your eyes to finish the meditation.
Mm-hmm.